Jobs on the line in the latest mega merger. From 8 p.m. in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. The proposed merger of Comcast and Time Warner Cable is sparking plenty of talk about customer impact, but let's not forget about employees. Comcast says the deal will create operating efficiencies, which is often corporate speak for layoffs. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
As Comcast CEO Brian Roberts put it, the companies don't even operate in the same zip codes, so they'll still need drivers and installers and sales reps in most of the same places. Industry analyst Jeff Kagan says a lot of the cuts will come at the top.
You know, you only need one CEO, you only need one CFO, you only need one of all of the different heads of the departments. So there's plenty of room for them to cut.
That doesn't mean layoffs aren't coming further down the chain, though. Batya Wiesenfeld teaches management at NYU's Stern School of Business. She says more and more people are cutting the cord and watching their TV on Netflix or online.
I can't imagine that there won't be some cuts even at those lower levels, because we are talking about an industry that is under some threat.
Wiesenfeld says the merger, if it goes through, may just speed things up as management makes sure the new company is as lean as it needs to be, given shrinking customer demand. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly up in global trading. In Europe, shares are higher in Germany and France on better-than-expected growth numbers there. Asian markets closed mixed. News this morning that menswear retailer Joseph A. Bank will acquire Eddie Bauer. That's the latest development in the unusual off-and-on merger talks Joseph A. Bank has had with Men's Warehouse lately. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P closed up 0.6% at 1829. The Dow gained 0.4% to finish at 16,027. A firestorm in India is raising questions about free speech and doing business there. Penguin India is pulling and destroying copies of a book called The Hindus, An Alternative History, after protests from some Hindu groups. The BBC's Rahul Tandon joins us from Calcutta. Hello, Rahul.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well. So there is a wide range of opinion in India about this book. How are Indians reacting to the latest move to take the book off the market?
I think there's two views of opinion. There's lots of people going from the government to senior politicians basically criticizing Penguin and saying that if a case had been brought against them, that Penguin should have fought that right to the end, I think. So that's the view of one set of people. On the other side, among some people who want the book opposed, of course, they're extremely happy at the moment.
It can be publishers in this case or movie studios, but often Western medias have to make concessions to local taste, sometimes government rules when they want to get into big markets like India and China. How much of a challenge does the Indian market present to media firms that want to reach that enormous audience?
I think it's an absolutely huge challenge. I'm talking to you from Calcutta. We've just had the world's largest book fair here, 2.5 million people attending it. That gives you a size of the scale of the market here. And that's, I think, why Penguin have made this decision. They issued a statement today condemning India's restrictive laws, which they say needs to be looked at. But this is more about business. The fear is that if Penguin was at the center of a campaign against it here in India, it would lose ground in one of the few markets in this world where people are still continuing to read, not continuing, but it's a growing market because literacy is increasing. And I think that's what's driven them to make this decision and decide not to fight it in the courts.
All right, we'll see what happens if they play it safe, perhaps. The BBC's Rahul Tandon in Calcutta. Thanks very much.
Lovely to talk to you.
African-American buying power is projected to hit $1.1 trillion next year. From our Wealth and Poverty Desk, Marketplace's Noelle King continues her look at whether growing purchasing power translates into more economic and political strength.
Cheryl Pearson McNeil is a senior VP for Nielsen, which, among other things, tracks what African-Americans watch, listen to, and buy. She really loves this one ad.
The Subaru commercial, there's a scene where the grandmother and a younger grandson, they're in the back seat and they're dressed up to go someplace.
And by the end, they're asleep, holding hands.
That resonates with me because I tease my mom and my son all the time. You guys act like an old married couple.
And it resonates because the actors are African-American, like Pearson McNeil. Some see diversity in advertising as a sign that companies are starting to wake up to black buying power. But is that a good thing? Jared Ball, a professor at Morgan State University, doesn't think so.
Spending money with this or that shoe company or this or that phone company has zero impact on the overall conditions of these communities.
Conditions that sometimes include low levels of wealth and savings, inequality in earnings, and in places, persistent poverty.
It's a bad thing when discussions of this thing called black buying power are meant to suggest that black people actually have an economic and political strength that does not exist.
The Urban Institute's Margaret Sims says buying power can become real power. Think Montgomery, Alabama, 1955.
We can look back at the bus boycotts. Where workers with very modest incomes were able to nearly bring down the bus company because together they refused to take the bus.
She says consumers need to be savvy. Look beyond who has been cast in the ad.
Look at who the companies hire, who they promote. Do they support minority businesses in terms of their subcontractors or their suppliers?
Because making conscious decisions on where and if to spend money can be a form of power, too. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
And finally, if you're giving or getting flowers this Valentine's Day, pause to thank the hardworking folks at Miami International Airport. Just about all of America's imported flowers pass through, nearly 750 million in the build-up to Valentine's Day. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.